Welcome back all. Two things to note. Number one, we had to sell that desk, that other one. I couldn't fit my legs under it. Some of you kindly said, why don't you just raise the legs? But if I raise the legs, the top of the table would be up here. So for now, I've taken Monica's desk from upstairs and brought it down. And it's so nice to be able to get my legs underneath the desk. So for now, this is the current setup. And do you remember last week? My bike of the week. I'm giving too much away. This is coming out on Thursday. I don't want to say too much. Royal Enfield Goan 350. Royal Enfield Goan Classic 350. I've showed too much, I've said too much, but I'm so happy to get that. Straight after the podcast, Robbie from Moonraker Cycles got in touch and said, we've got a Goan. So he kindly drove it over or rode it over to me at Ipswich Station and I collected it from there. So I've been the very proud, what do you call it, custodian of this bike for the past 4 or 5 days. Although I've only just got back, my Bonneville's right here, touching distance. I took that away to the Cotswolds this weekend with Joe and Emily from The Works. And we did, there were about 9 of us, a beautiful ride through the Cotswolds of all the bikes that The Works has had some kind of influence or rebuilt. And it was absolutely lovely. So I thought it's fitting that I take the Bonneville. So it's been a couple of days since I've ridden the Goan. Let's get down to it. Enough waffle. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Thank you so much, everyone, for getting in touch with all the emails. I'm so sorry I don't reply to everyone, but I read everything. And it's completely thanks to all of you that I'm lucky enough to make these episodes on a weekly basis. So please, please don't stop. We'll start this week, a Facebook bargain and straight off onto the open road. This is from Rob over in the USA. Freddie, your passion for classic bikes and optimism for buying bikes on Facebook Marketplace made me take a chance on a 2002 BMW R1150R and plan a solo trip around it. I snagged it from an older guy who hadn't ridden it or hadn't even started it since 2014. And I got it for $2,900. God, that's good value. What would that be? No, yeah, that would be about £2,200. Great value. With only 8,000 miles on it, that is incredible. It's a pure time capsule. I revived her with fresh oil, transmission, final drive, and clutch fluids. New battery, brake flush and a valve clearance check. That boxer twin roared straight into life, ready for a 2,700 mile round trip from Iowa through Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, and back through Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri. I spent 3 days in the Arkansas Ozarks. Now, I know the Ozarks, Robert, because that's one of my favorite series, Ozark, on Netflix. How is it? Addicted to that show, so I know a little bit about where the Ozarks are. The roads did not disappoint. Pig Trail Highway, Talamina National Scenic Byway, and a host of others. They are motorcycle heaven. Tight forested switchbacks, misty valleys, and elevated shifts that beat Tale of the Dragon for solitude and soul. Well, you write like a poet. The R1150R's torque and telelever handling ate up every curve. Each day, I met local bikers who shared killer tips for even better routes, hidden gems that made the ride unforgettable. And a guy named Steve took me on an amazing tour through the mountains and valleys, ending up at Mount Magazine. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. I haven't just butchered that. That sounds so strange. Mount Magazine State Park. Additionally, I really had no plans for where I would sleep, and I decided to sleep under the stars, finding campsites like Mount Magazine. I cannot be saying that right. Where I ran out of steam, I rolled into state parks along my route with just my bike and my clothes. Neighbour campers were legends, sharing food, drinks, coffees, and lovely stories around the fire. Oh, Rob, that is brilliant. Let's take a look. Rob, you've inspired me here. Rob, you bought this bike, 2002 model, so 23 years old, with just 8,000 miles on the clock. That's tiny. What's that, about 300 miles a year? And why that's funny is that this really is a workhorse of a bike. It's BMW's commuter bike, really. It's not some high-end exotica, top of the line. This is a bike that's made to be ridden, so that really is tiny mileage that it's done. Take a listen to this. It's my kind of bike here. MCN at their best, they say. The BMW R1150R is an honest-to-goodness boxer twin that will provide years of faithful commuting service while not exactly setting pulses racing. Now, for me, this is dream-used bike. This is screaming here, unstressed engine, nothing remarkable technology-wise. This isn't some pinnacle of BMW engineering where they're trying the latest and greatest technology that will eventually inevitably break. Now, this is back to basics, built for a purpose. Carrying on with the engine from MCN here, even better. The R1150R's tried and tested. Again, these are words you want to hear. BMW air oil cooled motor isn't exactly over generous with either revs or power, but it's very torquey and flexible enough to make either genteel touring or cross town commuting a pleasure. The gearbox is agricultural and lacking in positivity. You'll need to keep an eye on oil consumption too. Amazing. This is all perfect. This is exactly what you want. This is exactly what the Germans do best. Germans do mechanical engineering and build quality excellently. Forget about all the electrics and stuff that will break. This is core BMW at their best. These will go all the way up to £3,000 to £4,000 if you're looking at one of them. 2001 to 2006 is when they were built, 76 horsepower. And I have found you all, just to prove how affordable these can be, all the way up to £3,000 to £4,000, but I found you one. First year of manufacture from 2001, £1,650 listed 2 days ago with 23,000 miles on the clock. Very few marks on it. MOT, that's the annual check for another year. Recent service, easy to ride, great condition for the year. That looks just about as honest as you could ever dream for. For me, this is almost peak exciting used motorbikes. This is what makes biking so exciting. This is an amazing machine, and it won't break the bank, and it's not going to cause you sleepless nights worrying, my lord, what happens if it breaks down? It's simple good engineering, this. For £1,650, I love motorbikes like that. Rob, happy rides all the way around the US. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's move on to, this is a great story, from Hello Moto. Royal Enfield and the British Army finally link up again. Hello Moto says, that new Royal Enfield Himalayan is now being used by the British Army, so I cannot wait for the feedback they give the company and to see if it translates to an updated road model of the Himalayan. Let's take a look at this. So this is directly on Royal Enfield's Instagram page here. I think it's actually Royal Enfield's UK or certainly European Instagram page. They put a filthy picture of a Himalayan up and they've said here, yeah, Royal Enfield UK, building on the heritage between Royal Enfield and the military, Royal Enfield is delighted to announce a new partnership with the British Army, supporting the Army Motorised Adventure Group with the supply of Royal Enfield Himalayan 450s to aid training and personal development. MCN carry on. Lieutenant Colonel Nick Fullerton of the AMA added, this unique association with a fleet of Himalayan 450s offers serving personnel the opportunity to not only get out on two wheels, but also to learn off-road skills and ultimately go on to participate in some of the great expeditions we embark on, both on home soil and abroad. Royal Enfield's military connection stretches back over a century, with the company supplying, this was so, so famous, motorcycles to the forces during both world wars. Most famously, this is a bike I saw in Royal Enfield's Goan incredible biker hangout, hanging from the ceiling with artwork around it, including the famous 60 kilogram 125cc Flying Flea, the motorbike that was parachuted in with troops on D-Day. I think also there are other armies and police forces around the world that use, I think, Royal Enfield Himalayans. I think, funnily enough, one may be as obscure as Bhutan and another I think the Argentine police and military have been using Royal Enfields maybe for 5 years or so. Any Argentinians? I know you watch this very kindly, so let me know. I'd love to know. Are Royal Enfield motorbikes in the Argentine military? Carrying on now, kind of in a similar vein with the Royal Enfield Himalayan from Felix over in Barcelona. Freddie, greetings from Barcelona. I just wanted to let you know about a cool find that I came across while on my recent honeymoon to South Africa. Felix, what a place for a honeymoon. We stopped off in a small town along the Garden Route close to Cape Town, which was called Knysna, which was called Knysna. I hope I pronounced that right. Thank you for phonetically showing that to me. We were walking around the redeveloped island and came across a motorcycle, or the motorcycle room, I should say. And of course, I dragged my wife in for a look around. It was an entire room dedicated to the motorbike collection of one individual, run on that day by two great guys who were more than happy to let us in for 10 minutes before, or more than happy to let us in 10 minutes before closing and stay later looking around all of the bikes. But the icing on the cake here, can anyone guess what that would be? The picture's up here. Some of you will know this immediately. Icing on the cake, finding Norelys, i.e. Itchy Bootses, Honda Rally bike Savannah parked up in the collection. It turns out that she donated it to the collection after her tour around South Africa, and they had left it exactly as it had been at the end of the trip, i.e. exactly how Norelie dropped it off. So filthy, and with that melted indicator included that you can see in the back shot. Felix, thank you so much for sharing that. What a find, especially if you're not expecting something like that, to see Norelie's Itchy Bootses Honda there and all of the adventures she's had on it. You know, I sometimes think, how many people has Itchy Boots got into motorcycling? So many people like her. It's invaluable what they do to get us all enthused about one of the most glorious pastimes. It's amazing. Felix, thank you. Sending my best over in Barcelona and congrats on the wedding and the honeymoon. Next up to Clive. Oh, Clive, this is really interesting food for thought. This is with regards to that incredible American man who did 125,000 miles in 125 days. In fact, I think he went up to do 145,000 miles. I've just thrown an extra 20,000 casually. He did it for a charity, a disease that's in his wife's family, and he did it on an Indian pursuit. Let me let that just soak in. 125,000 miles in 125 days, 1,000 miles a day. Clive is dubious. If the chap on the Indian, sorry, I'm literally reading what Clive said, that's with a lot of M's. If the chap on the Indian rode for 12 hours a day, he would have to average over 80 miles an hour. Or if he were doing 18 hours riding, that's 60 miles an hour average. You could do this on a racetrack, but not on the road, especially with brakes for accidents and servicing. Basically, I don't believe a word of the article that you quoted, the article that I read from last week. Yeah, Clive, it is completely staggering, these miles. So let's say if you ride for 14 hours a day, just to add some of this, Clive. If you ride for 14 hours a day and you have to cover 1,000 miles a day every day for 125 days, you have to be averaging 71 miles an hour for 14 days riding every day. That's 114 kilometers a day that you have to average for 14 hours a day. Let's say that you can't ride that quickly, so you have to allow for some stops and stuff. So let's say you do 18 hours riding in a day. Even if you do 18 hours riding in a day, you have to average 55 miles an hour over 18 hours a day. That is the most mind-blowing thing. I can't even get my head around that. I cannot get my head around that. It almost seems impossible. It's so crazy to do that. So mind-blowingly crazy. Clive, yeah, it is totally insane, and I can't even begin to imagine how it's done. That is one of the most insane feats in motorcycling I've ever heard of. Ever. It's crazy. I'll move on, but yeah, Clive, it is look, there will be people who don't believe it. It is that crazy a feat. Obviously, I wasn't there, so I can't say absolutely I was there. I saw it firsthand, but I just have to trust it. And it's crazy. I'll move on. Deal season is here, carrying on over in the USA. This is from Rod. Anyone who's looking for a deal on a bike, make your deals now and through the early winter. Crazy deals. Last winter at dealer, I bought a 2002 Harley-Davidson V-Rod custom factory paint, all custom rider, 18,000 miles on the clock, not a scratch, $3,900.
£2,900, that's insane.
£2,900 sterling. I'm in. Incredible bike, engine, I love it. Engine and tranny, very smooth. Great power, insane. Ride safe, crew. Yeah, Rod, that's a crazily good deal. I wanted to, inspired by you, Rod, try and find my very own V-Rod. These are bikes that came out in 2001. They're very much of their time. Have they aged well specifically looks-wise? No, not specifically, but there's something about them. They're very, very unique Harley-Davidsons, these. They're, what would you call them? You'd probably call them drag bikes, 115 horsepower. I think the version one was 2001 to 2006. Just crazily long, low bikes with, let me just check my notes here. It's a Porsche-designed engine. So Porsche helped design this engine for whatever it would be. I guess it would be from a power point of view to be able to extract the most amount of performance out of the engine. These are very, very highly regarded. They actually have a brilliant reputation for reliability. You may not say Porsche and Harley-Davidson, right, you're gonna have a recipe there for a reliable bike, especially when they're both going towards making a performance machine. But actually, no, not at all. That's not the case. Every single forum, everywhere I've read, seems to indicate that these are extremely well-built bikes and very long-lasting, despite the fact, certainly from a Harley point of view, these are really powerful, and certainly from a point of view that is 23 years old now. I found one. These actually hold the value quite well. You can pick them up for, let's say, 6 to 9K, usually something like that. But I found a bargain here. It's a good £1,500 sterling cheaper than all of the others. So, £4,800 on eBay. It's been viewed 107 times in the past day. The owner has said here somewhere, all offers considered, in fact, not just somewhere, right at the very top, block capitals, all offers considered. This looks like a very, very genuine bike, and it's been reduced from what I think seems to be about the price most people advertise for, reduced from £6,000. That gives you a really good indicator about how much negotiation you have to do here, because most of the others seem to be at 6K, but it looks like people have to drop down to 4.8K, maybe even less. Can you get one of these? Could you get this for £4,300? It's a really interesting insight to see where the real market is, where the actual deal comes in, and it looks from here that it's not coming in at 6K. It's going to be a good 1.5K or more, less than that. Get this for under 4.5K. That is a huge, huge amount of bike for the money for a very, very unique Harley-Davidson. I'm a fan of that. Next up, off to Ukraine from James. James, this is a serious road trip. Freddie, I thought I'd share a story with you of my recent trip where, as part of a convoy of 30 vehicles, I delivered an ex-police bike to the Ukrainian police. I'm a police officer myself. Getting to ride motorbikes for a living is certainly a plus. And the two bikes that we donated, or the two bikes that were donated by my force, the Thames Valley Police. I've attached an article that I wrote for a police motorbike group, which I'm a part of. James, I read this whole article and I loved every bit of it. In fact, I liked it so much. I'm going to save your details because we've got volume one Lost Biker Stories out now. Volume two I'm working on. I'm going to see if I can get it ready for Christmas. And volume three, after volume two, of course, I'm going to focus on road tripping in general from whatever era. And this would be very good for volume three. So I'll save your details, James. I'm just going to read a little extract from this. I would read the whole thing, but it would take the entire half an hour, but it's extremely enjoyable. Let me read a couple of paragraphs here from the trip. It was early February 2025, and I was sat having lunch with my dad. My phone pings, and my boss's name pops up on the screen. Getting a text from your inspector on your rest day is not normally a good thing. Do you fancy riding a couple of old police motorbikes to the Ukraine with me later this year? Was the question. Not the question I was expecting. A wave of excitement immediately came over me. I had absolutely no context, but the instinctive answer was immediately yes. I've always loved any sort of trip on a motorbike and have never been one to do normal trips. Around 18 months earlier, I decided to do the Scottish North Coast 500, which comprised of 1,400 miles from my home in Oxfordshire on a Royal Enfield 650cc cafe racer, with the added challenge of equipping myself with nothing more than a rucksack, a tent and a camping stove, along with a rule to camp every single night. I managed it all in 6 days, came back with on such a mental high that I was very conscious I hadn't had a chance to do something again similar. So I was immediately snapped out of my daydreaming by my dad asking, "Everything all right?" I was still staring blankly at my phone, and I clearly wasn't hiding my quandary very well. I said I'd been asked if I want to ride an old work bike to Ukraine. I'm sure most people's parents would reply in horror at the idea, but I've come to know better from my dad. This is a man who, among many other unorthodox history of trips, rode a 5-speed folding push bike across Mexico and Peru, as well as spending many of his younger years on motorbikes. His eyes lit up. Well, you have to do that. I could go on and on through the trip. It's such a lovely story. But in essence, James and his inspector, along with, I think, 30 other vehicles, but just two of those vehicles, motorbikes, I think, they rode all the way over to Ukraine. The trip would be to support a charity named Pickups for Peace. The charity was initially started by a small group who managed to source and deliver a handful of pickup trucks for use by the Ukrainian army. They were immediately put into use, taking supplies to and from the front line, as well as being used as makeshift field ambulances to convoy injured troops to hospital. So my force, the Thames Valley Police, began to assist shortly after the charity's creation, donating seized and unclaimed vehicles, which would have been destined for auction or scrap. So while delivering Thames Valley Police's seventh vehicle in 2024, the team met up with our Ukrainian police colleagues, and when asked what they needed, the answer came back: police motorbikes. I'll have to find a place to share that story so you can all enjoy that. James, thank you so much. What a trip, what an adventure, what a cause. Let's wrap it up here. I was in London yesterday. I was all over the place. Oxford Street, Covent Garden, everywhere. All of my favourite places in London. I was just having my coffee and this very unique rattle. Rattle sounds disrespectful. This unique rattle just came around the corner. What was it? One of the most beautiful Ducatis, and a Ducati I almost bought, but instead I bought my Triumph Speed Triple. This would have been, 14 years ago or so. What is it? The Ducati GT1000. Let me explain here to the best of my knowledge, because there isn't a huge amount of information on these. From 2005 to 2008, before the Ducati Scrambler and all of that stuff, Ducati launched three modern classic motorbikes, almost before it had the big wave of modern classics in the form of the scramblers that everyone knows about. These were far more niche. These did not sell in anywhere near the numbers. These were not really a success in terms of the scrambler lineup of bikes. So what you had the Ducati Paul Smart Edition. That's the really rare, very desirable, now worth about £20,000. Paul Smart Special. Paul Smart's the ex-British racer who achieved a lot of success. You then have the Ducati Supersport. That's lower bars and a really sporty model. But then what you have is the Ducati GT1000. This is the slightly comfy one with slightly higher bars and things like that. Produced only for 3 to 4 years, 92 horsepower, 179 kilos. Really, really rare, these bikes. They just did not sell many of them, but when I heard that sound and I looked over and this slick looking guy comes out, he's wearing loafers, he's clearly been in a business meeting, cool helmet on, and he just whizzes away from the Covent Garden area. That brought back some memories of me lusting over these bikes when I couldn't decide if I should buy the Triumph or this. And they've aged even better. Whereas the Triumph has stayed a good looking bike, this has aged like a fine, fine wine, like the finest Italian wine. I've found one here on Auto Trader. Let's put you out your misery. Take a look at this pick. £6,995, just about the cheapest one in the UK with that two-tone paintwork. Beige on top, black on the bottom. Comes with the panniers. That, for me, is possibly the best looking Ducati ever made. I think this is art on two wheels. I'd want to own this bike just because it looks so good. I don't care how it rides. It's completely meaningless. I love it so much. It's perfect. Oh, it's perfect. I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I will leave you with a spoiler for a video in a couple of days' time. See you in the next one. Damn it, I can't get out of the way.